Hi, everybody. My name is Tom Saylor, and I was raised here in Fort Bragg. My mother and father, Robert Saylor and Kay Saylor, have been a part of this church in the past, and it's a real privilege to be here and speak with you and be a part of your morning and also to be a part of God working, because I just love it when His Spirit teaches me and guides me and leads me. So I want to describe a personal testimony that I've just gone through in the last 3 months. And it started when I was in a Bible study with a bunch of men at my church. It was a small group, and we had this lesson on prayer. And so before we continue with this, I should probably pray. So I'd like to say, Jesus, thank you so much for this lesson and the wisdom that you've taught me, the care that you have for me and everybody else that's hearing your word here today. I pray that you will just speak through me and use your word and let it empower and shape the people and do the things that you want it to do, because I know your word has power. Amen.
Amen.
So I would like to begin by saying, when I was at this small group study, the men and I were talking about building up our identity as God's children. And because it's important to know the correct identity of ourselves. Well, a lot of us have tried in the past, especially if we're not following and believing God, to try and create, construct our own identity. And it could be based on things like the building materials we'll use is our relationships with our friends or our wife. And so I'm really cool because I have, you know, all these relationships. And it also could be built on, I have a great job, I'm really important, or I have a lot of possessions, and so I got it together. And those things aren't really solid. And so in this lesson, it talked about us as God's children, and we need to accept the identity that He wants to give us. So when we were getting toward the end of this lesson, there are like 29 biblical truths about that God's word says about us as God's children. And here's a few of them. It says, I am God's beloved. I am a child of God. I am God's delight. I am born again. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am forgiven and I am free. These are all wonderful things and true about ourselves. So our assignment was, and there's many more than that too, but our assignment was to underline three of the things that we felt most comfortable we could that would apply to us, that we could identify with. And then we were supposed to circle three of the things, three most things that we kind of felt uncomfortable with, or this isn't right with me, or something's wrong here. So I was doing this along with everybody else in this lesson, and I got down to this one. It says, I am a friend of God. And I had to circle that because there was something inside me. Probably the accuser was saying to me, really? You're a friend of God? You know when the last time you had a quiet time was? Or do you know when you like really spent time with God? Because I have some brothers and friends that just study and they pray, and they have wonderful relationships with God, and I was comparing myself to that, I believe. So anyway, I had a little trouble with that, so I circled it, and I was thinking, I don't understand why I feel uncomfortable with this, why I can't underline it, but, you know, maybe I'll work on that. I got to fix that. And so a few days later, a good friend of mine called me on my cell phone, my friend Josh, and I looked at the screen and I said, all right, Josh is calling me. So I answered and I'm going, hi, Josh, how you doing? What's up? And he's going, hey, Tom Dog, what you doing? And so we're having a good talk because we're close friends, and we've been close friends for 20 years. We've worked in ministry with youth for quite a few years together, and then we've done things that friends do, like gone to Giants game, gone to 49ers games, and gone abalone and when it was still legal to do that around here. And we've just done so many things over the years. And so our conversation was over, but during that conversation, I had a great time talking with him. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed seeing my phone ring and that his, you know, ID was on there, because I was afraid it was just going to be a robocall or a, you know, somebody trying to sell me something that I didn't want. But it was my friend Josh. I was happy. And so it made me think, when I call on God and he pulls out his cell phone and says, "Oh, that's Tom calling me, you know? All right, I'm happy about that." And he's like, "Hey, Tom, what's up?" You know, is that how God feels when I call on him with prayer? So I wanted to develop that. I wanted to find out what was wrong in my life. And I had a pastor friend talk to me. He said, "Tom, I want you to take notes on this. I want you to study on this and figure it out. And then when you're done figuring this out, I want you to come and talk to the men in our men's ministry at our church." And so I did. I spent a few months just thinking about that. And in my quiet times, asking God and journaling. So I came up with some things from the Bible I want to share with you. I came up with a story I want to tell you, and something that's very clever that I want to tell you. So first of all, I realized that if I wanted to share this, I had to make it personal, and I had to be serious, and I had to ask God for some help. So let me go back to a description about my friend Josh, that him and I, among the different things that we did, we went up to Yosemite. And has anybody ever been to Yosemite? If you have, you know how wonderful it is. And like, you really have to push hard to get something, an area that's more beautiful than Yosemite. And so we hiked up to the top. We went up the cables and we're up on the plateau. And if you walk over to the right of this plateau, you'll, those of you who are familiar with it, there's this little trail that you can go down, and there's this big precarious rock hanging or balancing there, and you can kind of go through a trail under it and come up the other side. And the other side is right on the face of Half Dome. So it's, I don't know how far it is down, but it's scary. I just get so nervous when I come up to the face. I walk up to the face of Half Dome and I just start like feeling different. So my friend Josh comes all the way through this trail and up the other side, and he says, "Tom, give me your hand." And so I come over there on like my hands and my knees, because I'm not going to walk up to the face of the cliff, and because I'm afraid I'd fall over. But anyway, I'm on my hands and my knees, and I reach down and I give Josh a hand and I help pull him up onto the plateau again. And the first things he said to me was, "Hey, Tom, what happens in Yosemite stays in Yosemite." He didn't want me to tell his wife about what he'd done, you know, and that we were right there on the face of the cliff. But the image, no one took a picture of us. But if there were a picture of us, it could make a beautiful poster of what friendship is all about, because it's one person reaching down to help another person to get up through a dangerous or a difficult situation. So I helped Josh there, and I'm going to bring up this image over and over as I continue this this lesson, because that is a picture of what I did, right? I did to Jesus. I didn't know how to fix this situation. And so I'm asking Jesus, "Please, you know, help me up. I want to be a better friend to you." And I know that you're a good friend to me, but I need some help here. So I want to tell you a story, kind of like a joke, but I hate to say it's a joke, but it is. And there was this old man and this old lady in this pickup truck. And it's not like the pickup trucks now that are the super cabs, four doors. It was one of the older kinds, just a cab with a one bench seat. And the old man was driving the truck, and the elderly woman was on the other side of the truck. And she says to her husband, she says, "Dear, what's happened to us? Like, I remember when I used to like sit right next to you, and you used to have your arm around me while you were driving. And now look at us, like I'm way over here and you're way over there." And the older man just listened to his wife and didn't know what to say to her, but he just drove for about another 10 miles and he finally said, "I haven't moved." So that's kind of like what this situation is with God and myself. Like, God is immutable. God is a great friend of mine, and I'll show you some Bible verses that show that, that demonstrate that. And he hasn't changed, but somehow, I don't know how I ended up on the other side of the truck. And so let's look at Romans 5:8. It says, "While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us." And so Jesus didn't wait for us to get our lives together. He didn't, like, matter of fact, in my case, he died for me and he forgave me of all my sins even before I even existed. And then another verse that's really cool, it says, Jesus said this, "Greater love hath no man than he gives his life for his friends." And so in that verse, Jesus showed how great his love was for me. And he also called me in that verse his friend, because he died for me. I accepted his forgiveness of my sins. And so he died for my sins. And so he's calling me his friend there. And God is also faithful. The Lord's living kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So Lamentations 3:22-23 said, God is faithful. So between those three verses, God didn't wait for me to get it together. He loved me while I was all messed up and didn't even exist. He died for me and he called me his friend, and he's very faithful. So God is immutable, which means he doesn't change. And so if that were true back then, it's true today. And there's this clever saying that I want to share with you too. This clever saying says, there is nothing I can do to make God love me more. And there's nothing I can do to make God love me less. So before I go forward, I want to emphasize, I need to change, not God. I needed to change. And I was the person on the other side of the truck that kind of distanced myself from him. And so God is unchanging. He's always been my friend. Before I even existed, he died for me and he loved me. And I also want to say and emphasize, this is not about my salvation. I'm not discussing my forgiveness. If you know this big word called justification, I'm not talking about justification. I'm just talking about being a better friend to Jesus. And because I wasn't being, although God was, he was taking me to school and showing me, this is how you can be a better friend to me. And scriptures that give this example of how to be a friend to Jesus by his closest friend. If you look at the New Testament, in the Gospel, John was like maybe the closest person to Jesus, the closest disciple to Jesus. There was a small group of three or four that kind of hung around with them all the time. There was Peter, who opened his mouth way too much. There was it, I better not even just guess, but I want to say James, but Andrew. But there was this group that stuck around with him and were always in places where other disciples weren't with him sometimes. But even in the Last Supper, John was the one Leonardo da Vinci painted that he was like kind of leaning on Jesus during the Last Supper. And so John was the closest person, the closest friend to Jesus when Jesus was around. And so I want to give you three verses that speak on the friendship and what John says about friendship with God, how to love God more. And the first one is John 14:21. I want to say, call it the snowball effect. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And so the snowball effect is kind of like a snowball that's going down a hill, picking up snow, getting bigger, getting more weight, momentum, and as it keeps rolling. And that's what this verse reminds me of, because the more I have Jesus' commands, the more I obey him, the more he manifests himself to me, shows himself to me, which makes me want to obey him more and do more for him, which makes him manifest himself more to me, which makes me want to obey him and serve him more and more. So it just builds up. So that's one of the verses that John said. And what's in there is it says, he that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. Another verse that John wrote in 1 John 5, verse 3, is this is how to love God, obey his commands. So that's pretty simple. A third verse that John wrote, John 15, verse 14, says, "There, you are my friends if you have my commandments and keep them, if you keep my commandments." I'm going to read that to you. John 15, verse 14. "You are my friends if you do what I command." So Jesus is saying a big if there. You are my friends if you obey my commands. I want to be his friend. I want, when I call on him, I want him to say, "Yeah, Tom, I haven't seen you for a while. Come on over here and talk to me." You know, and so John is giving us three different places in the Bible the same message. If we have his commands and we keep them, then we're his friends. So we should be filling our lives with things that have eternal value. I mean, if we have a choice, we should be trying to be involved in things that we can't do without strength from God. If you understand what I mean, it's like we can do all kinds of things on our own power, but there's things that we need God to do. And that's what God wants us to be putting into our lives. And so if we're filling our lives with eternal value, if we're doing things that we can't do on our own, but through God's power we can do, then I think we're, you know, these are like the things that Jesus is commanding us to do. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He says, he will make us become fishers of men. There's a lot of things that we need him for. We can't do those on our own. We can't be doing those in our own strength. And I want to say there's one critical ingredient that I haven't mentioned so far in approaching God, being his friend. And it's found in Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that seek him. So to be a friend of God's, you need to believe in him. Otherwise, you're not going to go approach him. And you need to believe that he's a rewarder of those that seek him. Because why would you go to him if he's not going to reward you? But he will. And so the word impossible there, I want to just throw out one more time, saying it is impossible to please God. So if you want to please God, if you want to be his friend, you need to have faith. You need to believe that he's a rewarder of those that seek him. And you need to have his commands, and you need to follow them. So there's a reward in walking with the wise. It says in Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise. So we need to choose carefully who our friends are. And the best friend that we should choose is Jesus. And when we walk with him, the Spirit is empowering us. He's teaching us. He's tutoring us. And he's like a lamp to our path and a light to our feet. There are some things that Jesus taught us to do. I'm just going to go over these quickly, and then we're going to kind of just maybe summarize all this one more time. But some of the things that Jesus taught us to do, he said, don't be ashamed of my word, and don't be ashamed of me. So you need to really know him, love him, believe in him, follow him, walk with him, serve him. And another thing, I think that the date just passed on this, or maybe it's been extended, I'm not sure. But remember when Jesus said, give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's? And I think the tax date has been extended because we can't really get to the tax offices and see our accountants and all that kind of stuff. But the second part is what's really important. It says, give unto God what is God's. So what is God's? It's our whole lives. He's given us a lot of things. He's given us gifts, and he's given us this friendship. So loving God with all your heart, strength, and mind, love your neighbors. How about resting in him? That's an important thing to do when stress is on us and the world is tough like it is right now. He says, follow me and put my yoke upon you and and I will give you rest. So forgiving others, you know, that's really hard to do sometimes. I think that's one way to really glorify God, because when other people look at us, it's happened to me so many times in my life when other people like do something wrong to me and I forgive them, other people say, why, how could you forgive them? You're showing them God's power. You're demonstrating, you're witnessing God's power when you do that. The washing of feet, that's not very practical or necessary today, but there's many ways to wash feet in a practical way to your brothers or people that you don't know. You know, serving is a great thing to do. We don't need washing of feet because we're not walking in sandals on dusty roads. We're on cement. We're on pavement. We have socks and shoes. We have cars. And so our feet don't get as dirty when we go to our friend's house. But there's a lot of things in our lives and a lot of ways that we can be served. Visiting the sick, feeding the needy, visiting those in prison. kind of feel like I've touched on ways that we can love Jesus more. I think he wants our heart, mainly. And our ways are not his ways. Our understanding is not like his. And so there's just no better path in my life than to become friends with God. And it feels so good. You know, after I went through this 3 months of studying this and finding all these Bible verses where God says that he loves me, I finally, at the end, I could say, yeah, I am, or, you know, God is a friend of mine. I am a friend of God. And so it's really great to have that when I go to him in prayer and I have a big one to ask him, you know, like, God, I really need a lot of help here. It just feels so good to know that he wants me to come there. So if anybody wants to move on from where they're at now to become a better friend of God, I think the first step is like I demonstrated with my friend when he was trying to get some help coming up in Yosemite on that cliff. We need to, instead of being the one reaching down, we need to be like asking God, please help me to become a better friend of yours and to follow you better. I want to be a better friend to you. I want you to be happy when I call on you. And so that's about the conclusion of my lesson. And I just want to pray one last time for this lesson and for you guys. Jesus, please help each one of us that's hearing this message now to know that they are your friend, and that you just love them so much, and you died for them, and they are your friends. And so please help us to learn how to follow you and follow your commands and be better friends to you, because we want to make you happy too. We all want to be in that place where you are looking down on us and saying, you're my friend. Well done, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.